Crash, your Friday afternoon weekend starter. Here on the Big 550 KTRS, and on Twitter, you can follow me at Paul Harris Show. You can follow my next guest at Reality Blurred. That's the name of the website he runs, where he writes about reality TV shows. And now that we are into the fall season, I've invited him to join us for a little preview of what you should watch or avoid on the reality TV front. Andy Daynard, welcome back to the show.
Hey, thanks, Paul. Good to be here again.
Yeah, you went through a little reality show of your own recently because you live in Central Florida, right?
Yep, so we were among, well, I guess the entire state of Florida got hit by Irma, and now we're dealing with the aftermath of cleanup, and everyone is super stressed out and exhausted right now, so it basically feels like we're about to all go crazy on each other around here.
Did you get flooded? Was there a lot of destruction in your area?
I was very fortunate, just minor things like tree limbs and maybe a little bit of water in a windowsill, that kind of thing. But other people I know, came out much worse. There's a tree on a house down the street from me, and some of my family members still didn't have, like, running water, a couple of days ago. So it's definitely going to be a long process of rebuilding.
All right. Now, I'm curious for your perspective on this, because you watch reality shows all the time, which you and I know, for the most part, are semi-reality. Not real reality, because there are producers involved. But when you have when you have an event like this, that's reality, and the TV show becomes what we call hurricane porn on the cable channels. What was it like on the local news channels down there?
They're pretty good, actually. You know, I can definitely make fun of local news a lot, and I don't tend to watch local news except during weather events, and I think that's when they really excel at giving really specific and precise information and not creating panic. It's not the thing we might see when I'm fast-forwarding through commercials, and it's like, coming up at 11, like, while you're drinking water may be killing you, and yeah. And they don't bother to tell you any additional information. So, overall, really great, and I didn't really watch much national coverage just because in the middle of the storm, it's sort of like I want to know the most specific stuff possible.
Yeah. I was actually happy. I have AT&T U-verse at my house, and they put up a severe weather channel on one of their unused channels, and they were taking feeds from various stations in Miami and Orlando and Tampa and other places around Florida. So I got to see some of that local coverage, and it's not quite the same as the network correspondents who tie themselves to a tree. This was actual information about what's open, right, what's closed, where to get help, where's shelter. It was very impressive.
Absolutely, yeah. I didn't see many, Central Florida correspondents, like, standing outside and trying to demonstrate that the wind's blowing or, wind's blowing. I feel like maybe we're getting to a point of backlash there where maybe it's going to pull back a little bit, but I guess, some people can't resist standing in the middle of a storm for some reason.
I hope you're right. All right, let's talk about reality TV. The season has begun for some shows, and others are going to be coming on in the next few weeks. Pick one or two things that you think everybody should watch. That maybe they're not even aware of.
I'm going to start with Sunday night, is the Vietnam War on PBS. This is maybe not the reality TV we think of in terms of, like, Real Housewives or Survivor or Amazing Race, but it's Ken Burns and also Lynn Novick, their documentary about, of course, the Vietnam War. I think it's approximately 18 hours long, so it's going to take place over 2 weeks at 8 p.m. every night this week and then next week. And it's just, it's exactly what you would expect from them and from their previous documentaries, just a thorough, comprehensive, understandable, but also engaging look at what happened and why it happened. And I don't necessarily know if there will be, clear answers, but there is a lot of information that I think will surprise some people and also help educate people who maybe never knew what happened or forgot about it.
Yeah, I had Ken on the show 3 or 4 weeks ago previewing this series, and it just sounds remarkable. And I've seen kind of a sizzle reel of some of the things that will be in there in those 18 hours. And, you're talking about the best documentarian on the planet. It's going to be great.
Yeah, absolutely. Definitely. To sort of stick with the documentary theme for a second, I'm going to switch over to September 26th. National Geographic is airing something called American High School, which is a 4-episode series that follows seniors at a high school in South Carolina to sort of look at what it's like to be a teenager and their academics and athletics and everything else over the course of a year. And I think that's, the power of documentary to get inside someone's life, which is certainly why I started watching reality TV back with Real World.
Mm-hmm.
So that's National Geographic. There's a sort of similar show that will be a little, it's a little more traditional reality TV. It's called Undercover High on A&E, and that's where a bunch of people in their 20s are going to pretend to be high school students and go into a high school to find out what it's like to be a high school student.
Let's see the real ones. We don't need the actors pretending to be.
I know. I mean, that's the thing that's so funny to me. It's like, how could we possibly figure out what it's like to be a high school? Like, I know, let's send people in to lie about it. Like, or you could just maybe talk to the actual people. That might be possible.
Wait until all the lawsuits start coming out for that.
Yeah. Well, you know
what? You were dating who?
Well, you know what it is? Maybe they think because we've seen people in their 30s playing high schoolers on TV shows for decades, nobody will believe if we actually see a 16-year-old in high school.
Yeah, exactly. Although I'm guessing the 16-year-olds will probably sense them or, you know, sniff it out in a minute or two once those 20-somethings try to use Snapchat and just can't do it.
You're probably right. I got to ask you about an article you had on your site yesterday or the day before about Survivor, which is one of the few reality shows I've been glued to for the last 17 years. And somebody, you published a piece by somebody who said, you should see Survivor overseas. It's so much better. Why?
So this was, he wrote specifically about Survivor New Zealand, which had an entire season without any immunity idols at all. And as you know as a fan, basically what we have now on Survivor CBS is an idol vending machine that just sits on the beach and pumps them out to whoever might need one, which last season led to Cerie getting eliminated just because she was the only person without immunity, which is kind of against the spirit of the game, I'd say. So maybe it's time to return to that sort of purity of we don't need all of those little gimmicks and bonuses to get us to the end.
But if you say the credo of your show is outwit, outlast, outplay, doesn't this fall under outplay?
Using the idols, you
yeah.
mean? Yeah, I mean, definitely does. And I think the immunity idol has certainly given us tons of amazing footage over the years and wonderful tribal councils. And I think in the same way that it sort of shook up the game a little bit, maybe it's now time to pull back at least a little bit. And maybe there's idols in play in new ways, or maybe it's just for the latter half of the game or for the first half. Or I just think that it's like gotten a little too much and it's become a tool that they've used a little too much.
I was just going to say about another subject, you've also written about Big Brother, another CBS reality show, which you say has a major bigotry problem, and I see that they're going to do a celebrity Big Brother in a few months. Is that because they're feeling a lot of backlash from the regular Big Brother, or just because they want to cash in on the franchise?
It's the latter. You know, people will watch the show no matter how terrible it is and how terrible the people are on it. You know, there's certainly been outbursts of bigotry in the past. It wasn't as bad this year, but that's if only because the show has set a really high bar previously. I think this season has been terrible because they basically brought back one player, gave him a bunch of advantages, and now he's going to likely win or come in second place, which is just completely boring to me. But the Celebrity Edition should be interesting depending upon who they can get to play it. It's going to probably be only about a month long. So, you know, if it's just other reality stars like Nick Lachey who do every single one of these shows, that's probably less interesting to me. But perhaps they might be able to have some people play this game, and we'll see how it goes. Well, I'm wondering if they're going to counter-program this against the Olympics, maybe, because CBS doesn't have something at that time. Or maybe they wouldn't sacrifice, you know, Big Brother against even the Olympics.
Andy, what is it with these celebrity editions and bring back former players editions and special themed editions? What happened to the old idea of, we'll just take regular Americans and put them in these highly produced situations and see how they react? Are we running out of human beings in this country?
We are definitely not. What we have, though, unfortunately, is an industry that has run completely by fear, paranoia, and terror that a viewer won't tune in to the next season. And in some cases, this has worked out well. Like, The Bachelor has sort of turned into an ongoing soap opera where they bring back someone who is popular from the previous season, and that person is the new star. So it's sort of ongoing, and you get to follow people's stories. And I think it can work well in Survivor or in other shows where you bring someone back who maybe got the short end of the stick at some point. But yeah, basically what's happening, I think, is that people at the network level especially think that if you attach a celebrity's name to a show, that means people will tune in. If you have a celebrity on the show, that means people will tune in. They don't tune in. It does not correlate at all. There's been sort of good shows and bad shows with celebrities attached that have not been able to go anywhere. Like, I really liked the show American Grit with John Cena. He has millions of followers on social media. If, like, you know, a quarter of them had shown up, that would have been a huge hit, and they didn't. So it's just, it's sort of something that Hollywood is still convinced works, and I think we're going to see it until someone has a hit with, you know, regular people, and everyone will be like, oh, look, that's a good idea, let's do that again.
Maybe the reality show based on Hollywood should be CYA. That's what you just have to call it from here on out.
Absolutely.
Andy Daynard is the editor and publisher of RealityBlurred.com. If you want to know what to avoid and watch each week throughout the season, and interesting essays about the shows themselves, go check that out. I'm glad you're safe, Andy. Thanks for joining me today.
Thanks so much, Paul. Have a great weekend.
I'm Paul Harris. This is the Big 550 KTRS.